welcome former employee back here in the what is the mid-'80s?
Mid-'80s, yes.
86, was it?
85, 86.
Author, he does a whole bunch of stuff. Alan Charles joins us. The book is called Walking Out the Other Side. Thanks for coming in, man.
Yeah, thank you.
What a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me, guys.
And it's nice meeting you. I've heard good things.
No, well, don't believe everything you hear.
I read the book. Lou did not. he's busy. He's busy watching TV.
I can't read.
I know. So let's, first of all, in our first segment here, let's talk about, before we talk about the cocaine addiction, let's talk about what you've done over the last, like, 30 years. I mean, that was also fascinating in the book as well. You played baseball.
I played professional baseball down in the Dominican Republic. It was always a dream to play. I grew up in Yonkers and right near Yankees, not too far from Yankee Stadium, and just fell in love with baseball. And
now, you pitched, right?
Yeah, I was a pitcher. And as I shared in the book, it was kind of my first thing to take me out of myself. I fell in love with baseball and had a real tough early life, and escaped by playing baseball.
How did you, where in the Dominican did you play?
The team that I played for was called the San Francisco Macquarie. I played in San Francisco de Macquarie. There was a team that played in La Vega, Santiago, and Puerto Plata.
That's where my wife's family is from, Santiago.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. That's cool.
How did you overcome the language barrier?
A lot of hand signs and gestures. It took me a while. I learned enough Spanish at the time to get by, but not too much.
All right, so tell us about the book. What made you decide to write the book?
I had always had this idea in the back of my mind that I was going to write a book. When I was about 25 years old, I'm 56 now, a friend of mine in college who I stayed in contact with, I would talk to him periodically, like every month, to see what was going on. And every time I talked to him, he said, oh my God, there's another chapter for your book. My life has just kind of had these Forrest Gump type moments that, you know, really weird things would happen. So, and I always jotted these things down, and at one point figured I would write a book. I just didn't know that the outcome was going to be that I'd have a 24-year cocaine addiction and write about that.
Substantial.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
That is a long time to do a cocaine.
Now, you also came from a family, and it's in the book, so I don't feel bad about talking about it, where there were some issues. And I'm pinpointing your brother, pretty much.
Yeah, my brother, it was a dysfunctional household,
you
to
think?
Say the least.
Yeah,
so, you know, we got some bad news. When I was 9, my father died, and that's kind of where everything started to fall apart. My brother had some emotional problems, and there were some undiagnosed things going on.
And he had no desire to try to find out what was wrong?
You know, my mother tried to help him, but she was kind of weak and really didn't have any presence to be able to push him to do anything. And he flat out refused help, and it progressively got worse.
At one point when you were out of the house, you wouldn't try to go back to visit. He wouldn't let you in the house?
Yeah, that was that was pretty brutal. I came back from college after my first semester away, and I came back on winter break. And I came up, knocked on the door, and my mother told me, and my brother yelled from the back of the apartment, who the hell is it? And she said, your brother. And he said, he doesn't live here anymore.
Wow. They would not let you in the house.
And they would not let me in the house.
Jeez.
When did you realize that you had an addiction to cocaine?
Probably 2-3 years into it. So I started doing it when I was 24, and I saw that beginning, it was fun. You know, I would party and things like that.
Recreational,
It was recreational. And then eventually, when I started doing it 2 and 3 days in a row without stopping, the bell went off that I may have a problem.
Yeah, and when you had to all of a sudden realize you had to drive down to Washington Heights, you know, to get your cocaine, that probably was a concern.
Well, there was a concern, and it was while I was working here. It was a long road trip to go from Danbury down to Washington Heights and make it back and mix in a couple of sales calls along the way.
There you go. Wow.
I would stop over at Bridgeport Harley Davidson, and that was one of my clients. So I, you know, try to work my way back up here and make a couple of sales calls.
But the way you're treated in the book, it's like so nonchalantly. You call your guy, like, wait, I need some coke. Let's go down to Washington Heights. Pick up the coke, come back, and you move on with your life.
Well, that's kind of how it was. It became ingrained. Mm-hmm. You know, I lived doing it, and it was a part of me. And it's a progressive disease, and, you know, now I've learned quite a bit about it, and it's actually scary. It's a, you know, I believe it's a miracle that I'm alive.
Here's the thing. It is a disease, and some people don't buy into that at all. It's not a disease. Just stop, they'll say. Just stop it.
That Nancy Reagan just stopped, or just don't do it.
Right. It is a disease.
And you're coming along at the right time to talk about this, because it's been a dialogue locally. You know, we've been talking about the heroin problem locally, but it's all across the country.
It is.
You know, people get sensitive when I say locally there's a big problem, but there is a big problem, and there's a big problem around the country. So a lot of people are talking about this. In fact, what's the ball player's name that just came through? Heron?
Chris Heron. Yeah, I heard that.
He stopped through at Danbury High School to talk to
place was packed.
A couple thousand kids, right?
Well, I just started to do that, and, you know, it's a way of giving back. I've been speaking, and that's part of my plan is to go out and speak about drugs and to give back and to help the children, teenagers, preteens, not to even get involved with this. And I've done some stuff at Monroe College, and I have a couple of other things coming up in the fall, but I'm looking to do this full-time, hopefully, to go out and speak to schools.
Does it make you feel better about your recovery to do that?
It does, but it's also it serves a purpose.
Right.
It helps me to have a better life and to be able to give back, because if people they read the book and they see what I went through, I think a lot of people would refrain from even trying drugs, because I believe I was addicted from the first line that I did.
You mentioned the Nancy Reagan "Just Say No" campaign, and that was the big thing when I was growing up. But they would still have speakers come to the schools, you know. But I don't think that they picked the right people. I think they were still high when they were there.
Yikes! If you just joined us, we're talking to Alan Charles. The name of the book is called Walking Out the Other Side. It's about his battle with cocaine addiction, how he got out alive. It was a life or death type of thing.
I was, as you've read in the book, I mean, there were situations. I died in a car accident up here on I-95 in Bridgeport.
Yeah. You know what? We'll talk. We got to go to the break. But
well, before we do, we'll tell people where they can get the book, and then we'll come back with you.
If you Google Walking Out the Other Side, it's all over the place. It's on Amazon online, Barnes & Noble online, and my website is walkingouttheotherside.com.
You got a website, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Look pretty at that. Like the Ethan Carey dance machine.
We'll come back and talk to Alan in about 20 minutes, so stay with us. 726, Ethan and Lou here at I-95.
Saving money for your business.